Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I am so, so excited about today's show. If you listen often enough, you know we've got some regular monthly guests. Like, we have Dr. Troy on every month to talk about health and healing, and that's one of our favorites. We get so much listener engagement with that show. We also have Jeff Kinley on every month to talk about Bible prophecy. Well, guess what? Today we're starting a new monthly feature, and I'm thrilled about it. I'm so excited to introduce you to our new Bible Talk team. I've got three firecrackers on the line, and they're going to join us every month. Andy Andrews, Irene Collins, and Carolyn Haas join me, and we're going to talk about things that God is showing us in Scripture. And I'm telling you, when these women get talking, you want to listen for sure. But I also want to invite you to text in. Do you have Bible questions? Are there things in Scripture that you're struggling with, wondering about? Don't wait. You can text in now, 877-933-2484. And because we have kind of a roundtable discussion plan, but we are not in studio together, we're going to talk over each other sometime. We're going to have a great time. But just so you know, I'm giving them just full permission to jump in and interrupt if we need, because we're really looking forward to hearing what God is giving each of us. So first I'll go around and I'll ask them what the Lord's been talking to them about, but I also then am going to ask them what did they come armed with today that they're going to share, and then we are just going to give feedback and kind of process together. I'm looking so forward to it. Quick announcement first, if you're traveling this season, we'd love for you to take us with you. We've got a free app. You can download the app, or you can even text the word app to 877-933-2484. It allows you to live stream the shows from anywhere. We're giving books away almost every day. And you can also catch our podcast after the fact. Again, you can text the word app if you want to download it. It's free. 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my guests. We'll get this conversation started. Andy Andrews is the author of She Is Free, Faker Follower, and Friendship. It's Complicated. And the podcast host for Coffee with Andy. She's a passionate preacher who loves to see the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ outwardly, practically, and powerfully in our everyday lives. Based in Charleston, South Carolina, Andy's life is currently focused on raising her four kids, writing, investing in local churches and lives around the world. Irene Rollins is passionate about the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health of all people. I can't wait to get to know her, because that's such a passion of mine as well. She's a certified emotional intelligence coach. She loves to study human behavior, enabling her to understand a wide variety of people, guiding them to be the best version of themselves through her teaching, writing, and coaching. In March of 2021, she and her husband Jimmy transitioned from pastoring to launching a marriage ministry called 2 Equals 1. They now travel, speak, and coach and invest in marriages around the world. Carolyn Haas, you've heard her before. She's been on the show plenty of times, is the co-lead pastor of Substance Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She and her husband Peter planted Substance in 2004. Carolyn's passionate about church leadership, parenting, and marriage. She serves on the executive team at Substance and also serves on the board for One Hope. She travels the world encouraging and equipping church planters and pastors throughout the association of related churches. She loves being a mom to her three kids, and in her spare time, you find her with her family or shopping for deals online. And this is the one time we'll have you speak at the same time. Welcome to the show! Yay!
Yay!
So excited! Oh, you guys are going to love these girls. Going to be awesome. So we're going to start as we do every day. And Andy, I'll start with you. Just in your time with the Lord, what's God been impressing upon your heart these days?
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have kind of been huge. Our family just recently transitioned from New York City to Charleston. Well, actually, it's been a year. We just had our year-long anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I found myself in this place where the transition, I've learned so much in and through it all, but I was out ministering actually just a couple of days ago. And I had one of those days where it just felt heavy, and there were some things going on that we were confronting and facing as a family, as a church, like all of these different things that were kind of coming at us. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel everything. Like, I'm one of those mm-hmm. feelers. Mm-hmm. I was like, why can I not just be a logical person about everything? you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. why? Mm-hmm. And It was one of those nights where I've just felt heavy and I had been praying it through, interceding, trying to pray through all of these different things, but I still had to speak this evening. We were in Springfield, Missouri, actually. And I was getting ready to speak that night and it was just heavy. I was so heavy and heavy laden. Like, you know, sometimes you can intercede and push through and you see this breakthrough, but it just wasn't happening yet. In, you know, 30 minutes, I was about to get up on the stage and deliver a word. I'm like, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen here. And I just had Jesus show me this picture, and it was out of 2 Corinthians 4:7-10. And you know, when you've read the scripture time and time again, but then the Lord gives you a picture and reminds you, he's like, hey, I need you to remember this and what this is about. And 2 Corinthians 4:7-10 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. And it was in this moment where I actually ended up just getting down on my knees in worship because I was like, Lord, I have to get up there. I just don't want to, you know? You know, people are like, oh, so glamorous. I'm like, no, not always, like, not usually.
Yeah,
So,
it's a battle. It's
but
messy.
it is, it's a battle and it's messy, but God literally showed me, it was like this beautiful picture that of me as a vessel that had cracks and brokenness in it that he had healed, but through those things is where his light was shining through. And it was like, I needed that in that moment because sometimes when you get up to preach, you want to believe it's all fire and power. And then sometimes you're like, wow, like his strength really is made perfect in my weakness. And I'm so glad that the death of Jesus is within me so that his life may also be manifest
Come
in our
on.
bodies. And, you know, even this morning I got back home and just had to push through some stuff some more. It's just one of those
Yeah.
intercession push through seasons. And it's not always like this. Sometimes it's glorious. But 2 Corinthians 4:7-10 is really speaking to me, reminding me everything is not perfect all the time. Sometimes there's pressure and affliction and difficulty and pain, and you have to deal with yourself. And it's like another layer of healing is coming.
Come on.
And so that's where I have been at this stage over the last couple of
Beautiful.
weeks, actually. Yeah.
Well, you speak for many, I'm sure, Andy, and I thank you for your honesty because we can often look at people and think that it just must be good for them and always bad for me, but it's just not the case. So, thank you for that. Irene, how about you? What's God been impressing upon your heart?
You know, it's really interesting, Andy, because I have been kind of in the same place where
Stop.
yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. So, for those of you who don't know, I'm 7 years, 3 months into my sobriety journey, addiction,
Wow.
complete addiction from alcohol. And one of my first message when I went public with my story was we have to admit our issues. We have to accept God's grace and his forgiveness for ourselves, because a lot of the time as pastors, we're busy creating environments that are conducive for other people to receive the acceptance of the Lord. And but I didn't receive it for myself and then apply it, do it the work, do the work. So today I was just going back and journaling about acceptance. And the Lord led me to the scripture, Genesis 1:31, from the Amplified Version. It says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And he approved it completely. He approved it completely. I'm already approved. So as I literally sat there in the morning doing my quiet time with God, which is part of my doing the work, every morning, my connection with the Lord, and I began making the declarations over myself that I am enough. I am anointed to preach, which is simply to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's nothing fancy, Irene, because sometimes I put too much pressure on myself to be perfect and be something that I'm not. And I'm like, here I am, an alcoholic, and God's using me.
Come
And
on.
you know, and I'm sitting here like, he approved me completely the way he made me. He trusted me with this particular type of suffering because he knew that I was going to use it for his glory. So I will spend the rest of my life just embracing my weakness, like you said, 2 Corinthians 12:9, like my grace is all you need, my power is perfected in your weakness. So when I say my name is Irene and I'm an alcoholic, 7 years, 3 months sober, I'm not saying I am bad, because in acceptance, acceptance is receiving, defined as receiving willingly, to view as right, and to agree with. So one would wonder, in this Christian world that we're in, discussion that we're in as Christians, how do you accept being an alcoholic? I had to receive willingly, day 38 in rehab, I had to willingly receive the fact that I had abused alcohol for so long that I could no longer drink again. That was my first step in acceptance. And that's when I admitted it, and literally the grace of God overtook me in that moment and reframed my shame of saying I'm an alcoholic. But here's the deal. I admitted I had abused alcohol, and I could be saying I'm an alcoholic is just meaning that I can't ever drink again. So my will, I had to receive willingly that I had abused alcohol and changed my brain chemistry. But then to view as right, shame told me that as saying I'm an alcoholic means I'm wrong, I'm bad, I'm wrong. Shame, 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 shame all over me. And that is not the third part, which is to agree with God's word. So I'm just made a decision that in accepting God's grace and forgiveness, accepting the forgiveness of my family and my husband, and forgiving myself, and acceptance of my humanity and my brokenness, and that he still uses me, like, hello, that's amazing. And I agree with his word over me. I agree. He Come said, on. It's good.
Come on.
Yeah. Completely.
Okay. All right.
Not just that it's good, but it's very, very good.
Very Woo-hoo. Good. He's smiling over how yes. good it is. We need to pause here, Carolyn, so we're going to get your answer on the other side. But it's so interesting, because you all three are a force in the kingdom, and yet you both, the first two stories, are coming from a place of weakness. And somebody's just texted in, wow, I needed that. Thank you for sharing. I think that's so good. I really didn't know what they were going to talk about. So praise God for that. When we come back, we're going to hear what God's been impressing upon Carolyn's heart. I know Carolyn, so I happen to know that girl's been walking through the fire, and she's going to share maybe a little bit of this now and a little bit later in the show. Also want you to know, Irene joins us for the whole show on Friday to talk about her new book, and you'll get a little bit more of Irene's backstory at that time. And you can share, Irene, as much as you want here as well. It's the Bible Talk team today. Super excited. If you've got questions, send them in. You can text 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
Ain't no doubt about you. Everywhere that I go, you keep showing up. Lord, you make me want to shout it. Oh, you're the goodness in my life. And I'm going to tell you.
Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. You know this, if you listen off enough, we've got a couple of monthly features we like to do, where we're adding one to the mix starting today. I'm so excited about it. I want to welcome the Bible Talk team. It's three women who are on fire for Jesus, who are on the front line serving him, who are humble and real. And if you've listened to the show from the beginning, you already know that that's true. They're coming with no pretense or facade, honest humility, but they wrestle with the things of God. And they're out there, and they're giving us time once a month to just answer your questions when they come in. But also, the big thing I've asked them to do is come each time with something that they're really sorting through and wrestling through or thinking through in Scripture on their own. And we're going to get to those. But we've been going around the table first, talking what God is just impressing upon your heart. We've heard from Andy. We've heard from Irene. So now it's Carolyn Haas's turn. Carolyn, what say you?
Well, you know, one of my favorite traditions that Peter and I do, we've got two kids in college, and then we just have our son, who's a teenager, back home. And so we read the Bible together with him. And so we all pull out our Bibles, we underline, we take notes, we discuss it. And so this weekend we were reading Exodus chapter 15, and it's the chapter where they just crossed the Red Sea. almost the entire chapter is a song of praise, which it's actually hilarious because it's detailed praise. I mean, they're literally talking about kind of radical death, horse and rider thrown into the sea. And I was thinking, man, what if I wrote a detailed song of praise, but went, you know, my son's stitches came out, you know what I mean? The Lord, anyway, my point is we detailed praise. I just thought that was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But praising God for who he is. They crossed the Red Sea. They had just experienced 10 plagues. They've seen the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. And how crazy that after all these miracles, they go 3 days without water. And I think that's just so, like, why would God lead them through the Red Sea to then go 3 days without water, which is hardship? So their natural response is they grumble against Moses, which I think is a good thing. You know, when we love to blame others when we go through hard things. Moses, the responsible one, cries out to God. He's like, hey, help. And I love that God tells Moses to do something unconventional, something that's totally not scientific, something that's not even logical, throw wood into water. And it changed from bitter water to sweet. And what he was doing was giving Moses the opportunity to obey and exercise his faith. And I just felt like for me, the application that I walked away this weekend and meditated on was God doesn't lead us out, wherever that out, that journey, to experience lack. But any lack we might feel or even perceive is an opportunity to see God's creative provision, to hear his instruction, to obey and activate our faith. And I just thought, what is in our life right now that seems bitter and actually is maybe bitter and unhealthy, but God can turn to sweet and healthy and sustainable. God always provides when we cry out to him. And I think we think of God leading us. He doesn't lead us through perfect comfort or perfect circumstances, but through impossible circumstances.
Come on.
And bitter water. If you go the previous chapter, Exodus 14, the routes were confusing. It wasn't clear. They looked like idiots. And so hardship and bitter water doesn't mean God isn't leading or he's lost, but that's where he demonstrates his miraculous provision.
Wow, somebody got to text me an amen. That's fantastic. Thank you, Carolyn. Amen. You know, and the thing that I'll tell you that I've been pondering a lot, you know, Andy and Carolyn know this. I'm getting to know Irene, so you'll know this soon here. But as someone who's battled a chronic illness for 3 decades, the last handful of years have not been easy for me. And I was reading about the Israelites as well. And I read in Ruth Haley Barton's book on Sabbath Rhythms of Work and Rest, where she was talking about the emancipation of the Israelites. And she said they were in this unjust system where it was backbreaking slave labor at all cost to them and all benefit to the Egyptians. And God was orchestrating emancipation. And I was starting to think of, you know, I want emancipation. I mean, I want, this thing is unfair at times. It hurts. It's hard. I hate it. And, you know, I was thinking about deliverance, you know. And what scripture talks about is that their cry reached God's ears. And you think about what he performed when their cry actually reached his ears. You know, I mean, they were stocked up with the Egyptian wealth. You know, he parted the seas. Even when they went in under the mantle, under the blood over the doorpost, scripture says they left Egypt and not a feeble one was among them, which means he healed them because, you know, they had parasites, arthritis, herniated discs.
Wow.
You know, they were taking beatings on, you know, there's no way that they were physically okay unless God healed them and not a feeble one among them. So you think of all the miracles that God performed and what Ruth Haley said, Ruth Haley Barton in her book, as far as he wove into the narrative Sabbath, like they'd never known a healthy rhythm of rest. And so he was saying, now when we're coming out of Egypt, you're being emancipated, set free from slave labor. There's a new system in place and it includes my grace, my love, and a rhythm of rest. And I just think that is so powerful because rest is such an act of faith. And one last thought, you know, I jumped ahead to Hebrews and it talks about there's a Sabbath rest for the people of God, but I fear that some of you may not enter it. And in the Amplified, it says that the message did the Israelites no good because it wasn't met by faith. Now, I want you to think about this. So they lamented and grieved and cried out to God. Their cry reached his ears. He moved in multiple ways to prove he is God, that he heard their cry. But it did not benefit them, it says in Hebrews, because his answers were not met by faith. And I've been just thinking about, you know, God will take our cry any way we want. We can lament, grieve, pound on his chest, or we can pray and believe. But are we cultivating hearts of faith for when the answer comes? Can we steward an answer that we're not ready for? So that's just been something I'm thinking about because, you know, I think we complain all day long and God loves us. But I think we have a part to play in when the answer comes. Andy, looked like you were going to say something. Did you have something to say to that?
No, I just think it ties into the thing that I prepared a little bit, but I can just wait because I think for me, just listening to that, going, I don't know. I just thank you for sharing that. For me, it was a word. So that's all.
Cool.
I was nodding. Let's do it, babe. With excitement. Well,
let's go then. If that's stirring in you, you go ahead. You go ahead and share what you brought today.
Yeah, I would love to. So just recently, I started to go through the book of Proverbs with a group of people. And when we lived in New York City, raising our kids, putting them on the subway to go to school, we just knew that raising them there, they were going to need wisdom from God, the fear of God, to understand how he operates. And so we started reading the book of Proverbs with our kids quite a while ago. And I love watching my sons in particular go through it over and over and over again. But for me, I just intentionally went through it just recently with a group of women, and it so deeply changed me throughout it. It was like, you know, when you go through a season where you could underline everything and you're like, oh, where do I drill down? Because this is all just so good. And I need this in my life. And realizing that Proverbs 1:7 is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so one of the big things, and this is where I'm going to be like vulnerable in a place where I have walked in a lot of healing. One of the things Irene says often is be authentic with the many and vulnerable with the few. So show up as who you are. But when you use vulnerability, and Irene, you can step in here for a second before I go deeper. I do believe vulnerability is a gift. On my life, but I also know that I need to share vulnerably once I have passed through something. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep.
So,
it's like sometimes you have a breakthrough, but the breakthrough isn't the freedom and the testimony moment. Like we're sharing it and we're prophesying it, so it becomes a body of Christ thing when we share our testimony, right? But sometimes we're at a breakthrough moment, and that's for us.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where I had to share. I mean, I will quote that quote from Irene everywhere I go because it has helped me so much. But with the fear of man, like what I've realized is I am in a new level and layer of healing when it comes to the fear of God and the fear of man. It's so interesting to me. Do any of you think like, aren't we supposed to be over this? Like at some stage in our life, like, I feel like I'm too old for this right now. Like, why am I afraid of people? Yeah, why am I, you know what I mean? Yes. So I think for me, that's the wrestle in this powerful place where God is bringing me. And so I would say it was about a month ago. Again, I was at a speaking engagement and I was filled with terror. Like what in the world? Like, why are all of these wrestles coming my way? And it had to do with what people thought about me or were saying about me. And again, I'm like, I'm a 44-year-old woman. I love my life. What is going on here? And the Lord just showed me this picture. And this is what I want to share with you and then share a scripture. But he showed me this picture and it was like this dark, like enchanted forest. It was scary. You know, when you see it on those movies, but my leg was caught in a snare and I was terrified of all the sounds that I was hearing. I could hear, the snapping of a twig, all of these different things, fearing what could come and take me out. And off in the distance, I could see a kingdom of light, but I couldn't get to it. And
okay,
in a moment,
right,
Jesus appears. And
you got to stop. So sorry. We're on a hard break and you got to set the story up and finish it on the other side. Okay. I don't want to miss a thing. And then we'll have Irene and Carolyn really chime in. Wow. I hate that we have a hard break right now because I was just sitting on the edge of my seat like I'm reading a good novel. So more with the Bible Talk team, Andy Andrew, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas in just a moment. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Super excited today. We're starting a new monthly feature. We're calling it the Bible Talk Team, and it's Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, and Carolyn Haas. They'll join us every month, and each month they'll come armed with something that they've dug into, they've wrestled through, they've read in Scripture, they're just sort of listening to what God is saying, and we'll just have a roundtable conversation about it. And Andy has gone first, and I kind of set her up right before we went to a hard break, so I want to reset. But you were talking about the wisdom in Proverbs, and then Andy, you were talking about the fear of man, because Scripture scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I didn't want to miss it because you said you kind of had, I don't know if you had a dream or a vision, but you had this kind of word picture. So start over with the word picture and then take it from there.
You got it. Yeah. This word picture was brought to me by me crying out to God going, hey, do I feel like I fear man a little bit more than I fear losing intimacy with you, Jesus? And that scares me. And I don't want to be in that position. So I was terrified this one morning, woke up and got this picture that God gave me because I was so concerned about what others thought or said about me in this particular moment. And God just showed me this picture where I was in this like dark enchanted forest, like you see in one of those movies. And it was terrifying. And off in the distance, I could see this kingdom of light and I couldn't get to it because when I looked down, my leg was in like a hunting trap. It was in a snare. And as I looked around, I just felt fear in my heart. I felt it in my body, twigs snapping, all these different sounds of what could take me out. And within a moment, Jesus appears and he opens the snare and he picks me up and heals my leg and carries me into the kingdom of light. And then the Spirit of God says to me, Andy, you can come back and put your foot in the snare anytime you want, but you can also go into the kingdom of light anytime you want. It's totally up to you. You get to choose. And I realized, like, for me in that moment, how much power that I had. He showed me, he's like, this is the one thing that is holding you back from everything that I have in front of you right now. You are allowing your past to tie you. You are allowing what people say about you to hold you back. And if you could just walk into the kingdom of light and remember who I am and fear, and that was the one thing too, like I said a second ago, do I fear man or do I fear the loss of intimacy with Jesus more than I fear what other people say about me? And when I answer that question, honestly, I had to repent and I got into a place of repentance. And I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says, he who fears God has nothing else to fear.
Come on. Amen.
And I'm like, and yeah, and this fear is this, it's not like a terror. I'm not terrified of God. It's an awe of who he is. I fear him. One day I will answer. I will breathe my last breath. I will stand before God. And I want my life and my heart to be pure that I gave it all for him. And Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare.
Snare. Wow.
A snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And he showed me this place of safety. It's like Andy, Psalm 91, he dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So run to me, run to my shelter. And so that's another big thing where I feel like I'm too old for this, but here we go. I'm still working on it.
I love it so much. And you think about when we give that power away to man, when we put it on a silver platter and hand it over, we really disempower all that God wants to do in and through us. And yet when we walk with him and trust him, he becomes our greatest defender because it's another place, don't you think, Andy, of vulnerability to trust him with your reputation when people are going to take pot shots, but to say, I'm still going to do the work of God because he's the one I give an account to someday. That is a holy fear of God. And I think there's something in God that rises up in our defense when we dare to trust him on that level. So how about Irene and Carolyn? You guys want to say anything to that? I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I was just, you brought me to this thinking about just how in these moments where we're tested like that, where we're tested. So are we going to choose to go with our flesh or are we going to choose to trust God, right? In that moment and trust the word. And like, I feel like these tests are not, a lot of the time we throw it on the enemy. We blame shift on the enemy and say, oh, that it's a spiritual attack. The enemy's after me. And yes, there is a real, you know, ugly devil out there, right? That's out to kill, steal, and destroy. However, I believe God allows some of these situations to happen with us because he's after your heart. He's after my heart. And he is allowing my heart to be tested so he can see, Irene, do you really believe me that Romans 8:28 is true, that I'm going to turn all things around for good? Like, Andy, like even that gross weirdo people stuff that was happening and say what they were saying that created this fear of man, like, are you going to fear man or fear me? I'm allowing you to feel this because I want you more. I want pursuing us. Like when we reframe that and we actually believe that he's going to work it all around for good, like it's just insane, incredible. And I love Jesus for that.
Yeah, so I love it too. So good. Carolyn, any thoughts?
I have two quick thoughts. One, in Exodus 15, it literally describes God as he's our defense. And I think that just helps me because I also struggle with being misunderstood and my reputation. And it's like the same mountain again. It's like, I thought I dealt with this 12 years ago and here I am again, you know. So it's encouraging to hear your story, Andy, but just to know that, no, he's my defense. And then today I was reading in Mark 4 and it literally said, there are no secrets. Every secret will be revealed. And I just felt like that encouraged me, like, oh, there's all these conspiracies. There's people, there's lying, there's reputations, there's accusations. It's all going to be revealed. And it takes the pressure off of me. I don't have to be my own defender. You don't that's have to so be your good. Own defender. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I think that's where we get caught in is, do I need to prove myself? And we don't need to prove. God's our defender.
Amen. John Eldridge said on my show, one of the times he was on, but I've quoted it so many times, he said, one day your story will be told correctly.
It's brilliant.
Come on. I just think that's amazing.
That's so good.
Let's go to you, Carolyn, because you want to talk a little bit about patient endurance. And you've been walking through a fire. And I told Kev the other day, I'm like, she's one of the toughest girls I know. You know, I mean, you just have a way of walking through the fire and you have a fierce confidence in God. And you're going to find a way to stay on your feet and to keep believing God. I mean, you just really are that person. I admire that and honor that in you. And yet, I feel like the enemy has really hit hard in a really, you know, vulnerable way. As much as you feel like you want to share, go ahead.
Yes. No, thank you. Real quick, I just want to share what I'm walking through personally. In January 2021, my son, he's now 16, but he was diagnosed with generalized epilepsy. And for him, at this current moment, all of his seizures are grand mal, tonic, clonic. They're huge. They're, you know, anyway, I don't need to go into those details, but it's caused several visits to the ER, concussions, injuries. And then what's been weird is in 2023, they have increased. So it's been every 2 weeks he's having these grand mal seizures. And so just last week and a half ago, it ended up in the ER, blood, ambulance. You know, it was pretty intense. He could have died. And ended up with 12 stitches. And so both my husband, I mean, it's if I'm being honest, the post-traumatic stress is very real and it's very intense. And I think it's even been hard for me because I am a strong woman and I'm a strong leader and pastor and mother and wife. And so for me to even acknowledge my exhaustion, you know, has been really good for me and healthy for me to say I am tired and I'm human and I can't just have it all together all the time. So the post-traumatic stress has been real. The exhaustion and adrenaline has been real. But what has blown me away is the presence of God and the comfort of God and the people of God and the Word. And so that's actually what I wanted to talk about is the tangible presence of God and comfort as we've been patiently enduring. So the scriptures I wanted to share, I'm so excited because these are the scriptures that God's been whispering to me as I'm walking through this hardship. Psalm 46:1, God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way. The entire psalm is incredible. But the earth giving way is kind of life and death, you know, it's pretty catastrophic, and yet God is ever present. And Peter and I have just felt God's tangible presence. 2 Corinthians 1, God is the source of all comfort, not just a possible option, not just try it, like he's the source of all comfort.
Come on.
What I mean? Like I'm going to doctor appointments and we're hoping for some comfort from doctors to hear about different medications, but ultimately God is the source of our comfort. And then I love this, he comforts us so we can comfort others with the same comfort we've received. 2 Corinthians 6:4, Paul's talking about how much the hardship, and that's where I actually got the phrase patiently endure, because in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. So it's given me a vocabulary to walk through. People ask, because everyone's, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm patiently enduring. And so then this last episode that I went through, I could barely, like, I could say the name of Jesus, I can pray, but I'm in adrenaline mode and I'm in vigilant survival mode with my son. And yet we're texting people for prayer. And I felt like the Lord whispered to me, Galatians 6:2, this is where we carry each other's burdens. Mm-hmm. And I tangibly felt that because it feels weird as a pastor and as a leader, as a long-term follower of Jesus Christ. Like, I love praying for people. And those who know me, I intercede for people all the time. And to be in a spot where I could barely pray. I couldn't read my Bible. I certainly wasn't going to fast. Do you know what I mean? In fact, you know,
right.
But yet people are texting me, we are fasting for you. We are interceding and praying for you. And I just felt like the Lord said, Carolyn, you don't have to do it all. You don't have to even carry your own burden. I've given you the body of Christ.
Come on.
And so then 2 Corinthians 1:10, in the context of Paul being pressed, he says, God rescued us from mortal danger. He will continue to rescue us, and you are helping us by praying for us. Then many will give thanks because God has graciously answered in response to the prayers of many. And so I'm walking through the tangible comfort of God, the presence of God, the word of God, his people. You know, I want to just give one quick example. Out of this, my husband, part of his trauma is he keeps having nightmares, literally nightmares where he jumps up out of bed physically thinking our son has fallen. And ironically, of all weeks last week, he memorized a scripture about sparrows falling to the ground and how not one of them falls outside of the Father's care. And so he'd been meditating on that scripture, which is kind of fun. But anyway, one night he had his 13th nightmare. He jumps out of bed. It's 4 a.m. He realizes it's a nightmare. He gets on his knees and he just starts begging God, just Jesus, help me. You know, these nightmares are just intense. God woke up our executive pastor, Nate Pacini, he's one of our best friends, at 4 in the morning and said, start interceding for Peter. And as Nate started interceding for my husband, he saw a picture of Jesus cradling Peter's head. And he's like, oh, I've never seen that. That's not normal. That's not what I get at 4 in the morning. I was sound asleep. And I just think it's interesting that as my husband's on his knees praying, God could have zapped Peter with comfort. He could have just done it. He could have sent an angel. He could have. But instead, he wakes up another human and says, I want you to be part of the answer, and I want you to intercede. And 2 Corinthians 7:6 says, but God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. God sends us people. He sends us people to be sources of encouragement. He sends his word. He sends his presence. He sends his people. So that's what I've been walking through, and I'm just so thankful.
Wow. Somebody needs to text an amen on that. I mean, there's so much. They're so, so powerful. We do need to break. When we come back, Andy and Irene, if you have thoughts, comments, you want to feedback on Carolyn, and then Irene's got some things to share about what it means to be truly free. What does it mean to live a surrendered life? What part does repentance play in that whole process? If I were to ask you, are you free? Are you really free? How would you answer? I would love for you to text me and tell me. 877-933-2484. I would say I'm freer than I've ever been, but I have layers of freedom still to come. I know that for a fact. That's the Bible Talk team today. Andy Andrews, Irene Collins, and Carolyn Haas getting lots of amens. So grateful to see you. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. And one of the things I love about Faith Radio is that we put a high priority on the Word of God. The Word of God is living, active, and powerful. There's no other book that you can open up and hear the voice of God like the Word of God. We would love for you to join us this Lenten season. Prepare your heart for Easter and study the Scriptures with us as we walk with Jesus to the cross. You'll feel like you're right there watching it all happen. And then you'll be the first to celebrate Easter morning with a better understanding. You can sign up on our website to receive a free study guide and some daily prayer cards. Subscribe to the daily Reading the Bible Together podcast to listen to the podcasts that accompany this Reading the Bible Together initiative. I hope you'll join us. You'll find all the information that you need on myfaithradio.com.
We're all broken people. Don't we all need Jesus? Every moment of our lives, 24/365, a human is equal. Don't we all have a weakness? Hey. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody needs that grace. We all need Jesus.
Amen. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. So thrilled to have our Bible Talk team on today. We're going to get them on every month. Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, and Carolyn Haas, just a power team of mighty women of God who, again, have no facades. They really come with authenticity, humility. They love Jesus, and they wrestle hard through life's battles to find their space of faith. And what I'd ask them to do is just come each with just something that they've been really working through, wrestling through. And Carolyn, before the break, talked about their son, Eden, who's now 16. And again, because you're such a force, Carolyn, I mean, it's like, I'm like Andy, I'm emotional. There's so many details I want to give you about the battle that these two have walked through with their son. He's been having grand mal seizures every 2 weeks. And so talk about living in fight flight, where they have to watch for the signs because they've got to keep him safe. And yet still, he had an ambulance ride and cut up his face from a fall, and poor Peter, who's been on the show plenty of times, has been having nightmares around it. But all of that to say, Carolyn's been talking about how the body of Christ has been coming around. God could zap us, but instead he wakes up other people. He brings people in. It was just beautiful, Carolyn. And I know Irene and Andy have some things they want to share before I hand the mic back over to Irene. Any thoughts, girls, that you wanted to share? All right, Andy.
I'll go real quick. For me, honestly, it was just another reminder to walk in gratitude for the people that God has placed in my world. Because I think a lot of times we do learn, once you're following Jesus for a certain amount of time, you learn how to do things on your own. And I even discovered once I moved here and have been in Charleston for over a year now, I was like, wow, I almost intentionally walked a lonely road and didn't even know that I was. And so just receiving support, allowing people to call me, calling other people and not thinking like, I think that's the thing for anybody listening out there going, I don't want to be a burden to somebody else. No, like we are to carry each other's burdens. I love how you shared that. There is somebody who wants to walk with you and work with you. And funnily enough, both Irene and Carolyn have been two of those people at different seasons in my life for that too. And so Susie, thank you again for bringing us together to talk about all these things. I'm really excited.
So good. Irene, go ahead. If you want to make a comment, then I'm going to set you up.
So here's the deal. Sometimes you have friends like Carolyn who are never going to really ask for help. They're the best givers, and it's so hard. She loves so well. So it's like, man, I knew they were being flooded with, DoorDash and all these things that she's done for me. Like, but I was like, what could I do that's different? And so I got on the plane and showed up. And sometimes I believe
that's different.
You have to show up to show your friends that you are there to cry with them when they need to cry, when to laugh with them in the good times. You know what I mean? And it's like that whole supportive friendship. And when you were talking, I was just reminded of Psalm 125:1. Those who trust in the Lord are unshakable unmovable as mighty Mount Zion. And I'm just hearing like the whole, like I've been in this pursuit of when I went, my family went through some medical issues last year. It was like, I'm going to believe that God is still in this. I'm going to believe. And so I was talking myself through it. And I remember telling both of you, Andy and Carolyn, that I had joy in the midst of chaos. It was a peace that made no sense at all. And I was declaring this over myself, those who trust, I am going to be the one who trusts.
Come on.
That I am unshakable. Fears that trying to come after me, my family attack us in a physical way, but I am going to trust. I have no other choice but to trust. And as we take authority over chaos by declaring his word and believing this for ourselves, even when the circumstances don't match up, this peace that transcends all understanding settles on us.
So good. All right. Before we talk about freedom, I had this person texted in and said she's trying to become more free and she wonders if she could have prayer, which reminds me, I think next time we have you on, we're going to devote some time to pray for some people because I know you all love to do that. She says, woke up again today feeling like a hot mess, working at it. She says, like AA says, it only works if you work it. She says she's doing that, but she doesn't know why she's struggling with this invisible funk. She feels like the blue character on the inside. On the inside out, but I know I'm free, she says. So we'll pray for her in just a moment. But talk freedom, talk and the role that repentance and surrender play.
Yes. Yeah, so this really, I know Andy Andrew wrote a book called She is Free. And I remember when I picked up that book before I had ever met her, I knew that we spoke the same language and I needed to know this woman. Because when I read her book, I don't even know where I saw it, read it, or if it was just something that happened in my spirit. But I heard, are you really free, Irene? Are you really free? You're sitting here saying you are free from alcoholism, but are you really free? And that's when I started to really realize that John 10:10 is real. The thief comes to only to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it to the full. So over that lady that's saying, hey, I know I'm free, but why am I still feeling this way? we should all over ourselves. We keep saying, I shouldn't be dealing with this. I should be over this by now. Am I really free? The answer is yes, but there is a real enemy after our minds and our hearts, trying to destroy this freedom that we have. And the Lord is saying that he wants us to be fully alive, have life to the full, have it to the full. So I believe that part of it is freedom is having nothing to hide. So true freedom. So what is it that we're taking to the Lord and inviting him in? That's the surrender to that space and saying, and this lady's example is perfect. Like, God, what are you trying? What's really happening deep down on the inside? On the outside, or in my mind, I would say, surfacey, I feel depressed. I feel sad. I don't have any joy. There's something else. What's underneath this? Start unpacking it with the Lord. Getting in my recovery, I've learned to get really honest with God. Like, I'm allowed to be honest and tell him, I feel depressed. Why aren't I feeling more free by now, God? Like, I giving him my anxious thoughts. Like, this is, I'm allowed to conversate with the Lord this way. And a lot of the time, many of us have experienced trauma in our upbringing or in our family of origin, where we weren't allowed to talk. We weren't allowed to have emotions. I know in my house, it was only one person was allowed to have big emotions like anger and all of that. And she was the only one allowed. And if you did, then you were being disrespectful. So I learned to be silent and not label and understand what was happening inside of me. And that created a prison of my own making. And so really freedom, you know, just for time's sake, I want to just say, you know, read Hebrews 12:2. It says, you know, the Lord talks about, I mean, Apostle Paul talks about throwing off the weight of sin that entangles us. So like digging deeper within us, like, what is it, Lord, that I may not see as sin, but it might be a blind spot. Maybe I need to call in a friend and say, hey, do you see anything in me? Do I have a blind spot that I need to repent for, surrender to God, and shift my mindset about? Because I've been functionally dysfunctional for so long that I'm completely unaware that I'm even having this dysfunctional way of thinking that's causing me to be depressed. Do you see what I'm saying about doing that deep work?
Wow. You know, I every day we're given the opportunity to either accuse God or to trust him. And that's just true. So I think for me, when I notice those times where I'm in a funk, I have to back up and go, what is the story I'm telling myself? And is this narrative in conjunction with the truth about God and the truth about myself? And so I really love, like, even Andy, the beginning of the show where you talked about the fear of man. I mean, God aches when we're afraid, but then you came to a place of repentance. And back to the Israelites, you know, there's a lot of commentators who say, of course you understand their freedom because their fear, because they're leaving what they knew, even though it was captivity. But there was a point where their fears became rebellious, where they really, they coddled their fear more than they clung to the promises of God. And I think, Irene, sometimes we are in such a blame it society that we don't want to take inventory to go, is there anything in my heart that I need to surrender to you, God? Never with condemnation or shame, but always invitation for freedom. And what do you say, maybe if we only got a couple minutes left, maybe I'm going to ask you, Irene, if you would pray for this dear one who wants to really negotiate this time and navigate this time with truth in her heart. Would you pray for her?
Yes, Father, we just come before you agreeing in prayer, God, over our sister, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself in her heart, in her mind, in the quiet and dark spaces of her heart and her mind. God, bring light. Reveal what is maybe broken, what is where she may have trust issues that are now clouding her relationship with you. So you're after it, God, whatever it is, if it's a hurt, if it's something that's happened to her, if it's a hang up that she has, like unforgiveness or something that she's holding on to that she needs to release to you, we pray that you'd make it clear to her so that she may do the work to get free, so she can help set others free and walk in this abundant life that you have called her to. So God, as she pays attention to the pain, show her that you are her front and rear guard. You are the good shepherd and that you are with her, never leaving her and never forsaking her. And there's more for her, abundant life, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, the time has flown right by, girls, but thank you for the time today. Carolyn Haas, Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, you guys are wonderful. Bless you for giving us the time today.
We love you.
So good to be with you. I love this. This text came in. Freedom is having nothing to hide. Wow, she says. And they're also praying for the Haas family. I love our listeners. They're so engaged. We pray you found some encouragement here. And friends, if you have some topics you want the Bible Talk team to address, go ahead and email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and I'll send it out to the team and we'll prepare ahead of time. And we're also going to spend a little time next time praying for some of your requests. So we've got a lot of great conversation up ahead. Thank you for joining us today. We love and appreciate you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.